He is Robin Leach. He is Jada Mark, and this is Car Keys.
And what are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about satisfaction indexes that sometimes are posted by companies that spend time analyzing various aspects of quality in automobiles that are coming off assembly lines from the manufacturers. And Kia, Hyundai, and Genesis made the news last week, whatever week it is, and came out being in the top three of the manufacturers' vehicles having the fewest number of defects per 100 cars coming off the line. I think that's how it's measured. And
it relates to problems in
the first 90 days of use that get reported back to the dealer, I guess, by owners who bring their cars in for complaints fixes. And most of it generally has been of recent time having to do with the electronics and all the computer things, just touch screens and the voice recognition systems and how easy they are to run and not confuse or otherwise confuse their owners during the first 90 days of ownership. And to that end, it's interesting because when you take delivery of new modern cars these days, the delivery process can go a long way towards your leaving the dealership with a satisfactory feeling with your brand new electronic controlling, computer controlled car or not. And some of us who are more car sense than sensical or sense.
Yeah, or car sensitive.
Sensitive but knowledgeable than others may not find that they want to go through the delivery process, which could take an hour if you really had a salesperson delivering the car to you and you were sitting there saying, okay, here's my checklist. We're now on number 10 of 50 and you're 25 minutes into it.
Yeah, people don't have the patience.
I don't need to go through this because I know it from my other car, which had the same thing. And I did this with this recent leasing of a new Cherokee, which is an upgraded, 4 years upgrade over the old one I have. And things changed a bit, plus it came with an upgraded system that I didn't order, but that's the way the new ones are. See, upgrades happen over years now in new vehicle lines. And I sort of poo-pooed the need to go through the delivery process of learning the new technology. And within 24 hours, I was calling up the salesperson to guide me through some things because I was too impatient and or didn't realize how to do it. And so
he said,
next time you come in, yes, we'll go over it in detail.
All right.
Well, that's going to not happen until the first oil service because I'm not going to just drive to a dealer 30 miles away to do this kind of thing.
Can I just say that you're a reasonably mature person who has owned...
No, I'm not.
Who has owned vehicles for a fair amount of time, which brings me to, have you done your Carvana assignment? Because I'm serious, because you are marketing to a bunch of people who think that a car should be... I actually tested this on a 28-year-old and said, have you heard of Carvana? And there was a... And I said, well, how would you feel about your car just being delivered to you? And she said,
what's that?
How would I know what it feels like to drive?
I saw a Carvana truck in close to New York.
Yeah.
They're very well-branded trucks like you see them on just like you see them on, well.
Delivering a car, presumably, maybe?
Well, the car was no longer on it, so I guess it had been.
You mean
delivered.
It was an open carrier, not an enclosed carrier, which is what I would
it's
expect
an open
a
carrier.
Carvana delivery system to do, unlike the caravan, the open trucks.
Carvana is not a high-end
no, it's not.
But they brand have to... or high-end priced cars. It's used cars. It's not new cars. They may have used new cars as well, but it's
which
basically
is not clear.
It's not a manufacturer.
They just
I said, which is not clear from their ads.
It's not clear from the ads. I went on the website, and I did that actually before the previous show, but I had done my homework.
The dog did not eat it.
Let's jump in because we're in.
Okay.
And I think their headquarters, their center, their holding facility is, I forget where it is now. Is it in Atlanta?
No idea. No, I really haven't investigated.
Is there just one Carvana rotating storage unit?
I think there's one
at the moment, at any rate.
One facility where you can actually go and see the cars. So
what's
you can
the
fly
website?
Into it. Carvana.com.
Okay, so listeners, if you want to find out more about this after you've heard us babble about it, go to Carvana.com. Why not? And take a look.
Because you don't know, because part of the problem, and we won't spend a lot of time on it, obviously, but part of the problem is that it is designed to exploit the very things, in my opinion, that people who don't know think they know because it's a website.
I disagree completely. It's like a dealer of used cars. It's, what do we have out there who sell used cars principally also? CarMax.
Yes and no. CarMax has a bunch of stores where you go physically right. and see the cars. And, you know, metro areas have CarMax lots, dealerships, whatever you want.
Well, to the
them.
End of this Carvana topic where you don't have stores to go to, unlike CarMax-type stores, there's a lot in the industry, listeners, about buying online now and never going, stepping foot into a dealership.
Well, that was, I think, Jill's point.
Jill's point.
But to that point, I'll say, okay, when I bought my last car, which was technically a used car, but it was basically a
you
certified.
You did it online.
I did it online. I knew the car I wanted to buy. Actually, I had never driven that particular model, but I had driven cars very similar. So I did buy it sight unseen.
I can order a tomato. And if somebody sends me a tomato because I know what a tomato is supposed to look like and taste like and smell like, if somebody sends me a tomato and it doesn't suit me, I will say, sorry about your luck, have it back. So I have a knowledge about a you have a knowledge about cars. You have a knowledge about cars. My view is for people who are thinking, wow, this is just a convenience.
And well, there are various satisfaction guarantees with these operations, okay?
I think these companies like Carvana take this somewhat seriously. Obviously,
yes.
They're out there to make money, and a lot of it, and they have resources.
I'd like to know who owns them.
However, they depend for their success on the satisfaction index that they're going to achieve with their deliveries. It's like going to a brand new restaurant, and if you go there and have a fabulous dinner, you're going to tell all your friends, and they're going to race to follow you to that restaurant and buy food there or a meal there. And you can't. The cars are built so well today, and the pressure to get a customer who steps onto a dealership and into a car at that dealership before he or she says, "Well, I'm going to go test drive a competing brand," is extreme, and they want to do everything they can not to let you leave that dealership without having a commitment, either in the form of a credit carded deposit, which is returnable if you don't follow through, or your name on a sales or rental leasing contract, so that you don't go to that competing store.
Which is exactly what Carvana is exploiting.
Nobody's exploiting. All the dealers are exploiting that.
That's exactly what their position is. Why should you be pressured? You can just go home and buy this.
Well, for people,
so there's a point to be made about it,
right? So you can research on Carvana as well as you can research on every dealer in the country if you know the name, and find a car of your like that you see on their thing and research it a little bit more and maybe do what Jay did with his vehicle that he's talking about. He knows enough about it. He may have driven one in a rental outfit and all that, and you can buy from Carvana.
That's exactly my point. He knows a little bit about it. I'm just asking
a lot of our listeners.
But if you don't know about it, I'm being counterpoint here. If you don't know about cars in general or about even what you need or want, stepping into a dealership and getting the direct feel is not going to help you much, because you're going to be put in a car
and
basically
sent out with owning it.
Right.
And it's going to drive
whether you like it or not.
So how do you get certain people to buy a car? What do you do?
Well, many people don't do what you're inferring, which is to go talk to somebody who knows about cars and have them help you buy a car.
So what do you do?
So you are at the risk of whatever happens when you go out on your own.
Okay.
and go buy a car, be it from a used car dealer, a new car dealer, a online car dealer,
but
and all that.
We're back to saying there are no bad cars these days.
There are
that
no
is
bad
the good
cars.
News.
That's
there
the
are
good
no
news.
Bad cars, okay. Virtually no bad cars. So whatever car you buy, you're probably going to be okay. And if you really don't care all that much about cars,
and
you're
many don't, be okay. I find it's amazing. People, they buy a car by looks.
I can't
they buy
I'm
a car by
this.
Color.
I'm saying this.
They buy a car by chance. And if it gets them from A to Z reliably day after day, they're basically happy.
Good. Well, then we don't need to do the show anymore, do we?
Did I hear that? I'm not sure I heard that.
No, simply because it's you've got an audience. Not just audience who lives, but you've got car buyers, and then you've got people who've got a little more sophistication, let's just say, about the actual car, which would enable you to actually fill in a satisfaction survey.
Well,
oh, it drives. I'm satisfied.
Yes. Well, the people that want to do more than just buy a piece of metal to sit within and drive from A to Z or A to B and B to A are listening. And to that end, well, let's go back to the opening topic, which was satisfaction index and what the problems that come up. And most of them right now, because the cars are so well built mechanically and they do all start up right away, and they do go into drive in reverse and go from A to B, you have to figure out when you want to change the radio what happens. And this is where the problems have been developing.
Let's be clear. It was not a satisfaction index. It was
It was the problems per 100.
It was
a
number of problems per car.
But the problems get reported, I don't know exactly what they are, but a lot of them are the problems get reported. Who knows what the problems are until the customer brings it back in? The dealer doesn't go do a check on vehicles coming off the truck and figure out that there are 50 problems before they even put it in the showroom floor. It's some kind of program that is a report for the manufacturer's index. It's not for the public to know generally.
Well, it's like every other survey.
It's a survey.
You get the answers
and the manufacturers
based on the way you ask your
right.
questions.
Yes, and the manufacturers can use it to their credit to hopefully benefit the interest in their vehicles over somebody on some other vehicle. And the further up to near the top you are, maybe the more attention you're going to get if it does get published out there. And Consumers Reports is the same situation. You know, Consumer Reports test cars. I have said on this show that I am not the biggest fan of Consumers Reports, and I actually subscribed to the magazine recently for a year or two, and I'd let my subscription drop, and they've been trying to get me back ever since. I don't like their car reviews. I don't think they're very very exact. I don't think they are comprehensive enough where they should be. When they are critical of a car, their testers, I think the testers should find out whether there's a solution to the criticism that can be found out, and they should tell the consumers who are reading this that it's a problem. And I will go directly to the problems that the 2014 Cherokee 15 Cherokees had with their transmissions. Consumers Union reported on their Cherokee, and the transmission shifted roughly, blah blah blah. But they didn't mention that it was a software update that could remedy the situation. And I looked in vain for an update on their report, and I may have missed it if it was there. And I apologize to Consumers Union if it happened. But to my end, they have been dissing it in their car review thing every time it came up poor with respect to its reliability factor.
I think Consumer Reports is one tool amongst others. Car magazines will give you the opinion of people for whom cars are a passion, and they're passionate about what they write. Consumer Reports obviously is not more passionate about cars than they are about dishwashers or cameras, and that's fine.
They do give a survey, though. They do give a rating.
One of the websites I really like to use, and I base a lot of
your recommendations or decisions.
Recommendations, and I look into is Edmunds. Edmunds.com has.
Well, Edmunds used to be a little book.
Yep. Well, so was KBB.
Right, but I think it's important that people know where it came
cars.
From.
Cars.com also, I think.
And I think I go to Edmunds like I go when I look at, you know, one of the box stores has consumer reviews. You know, when you have a lot of consumer reviews, you read those and you see what people say about what they purchased, and it gives you an indication into what you're looking at buying.
Well, the manufacturers have these so-called chat rooms also, and rave and rant. And the Cherokee, let's belabor that a little bit longer, the Cherokee was really hit upon it. When I don't go on them generally, but I wanted to see what it was being said. There were people scalding the Cherokee and the dealers who were not nice to them when they were complaining
about
the whole
thing. That's the great thing about the internet.
Yes,
you
can.
You don't.
But there weren't any counter reviews of people that were satisfied with them.
Because
you always hear about the bad of everything that is being reviewed on the internet, as opposed to a rave like I'm doing on this show, because I think the Cherokee is a terrific vehicle in the SUV type of situation.
Right,
and Jay thinks the Touareg is a terrific vehicle, and so. And we have more knowledge about it because we have driving history.
But you also have a different forum, because if you say, well, I like that, into the, oh, I had the worst experience of my entire life every single day of the internet, which is pretty much designed for that amplification, you're saying, I think it's good, gets immediately frequently gets washed away by the people who would much rather say that it's just a disaster. So that is the benefit of having a separate outlet to say, hey, the Cherokee's not a bad car, and for you to say, hey, the Touareg's not a bad car, despite, you know, whatever you might hear, you might want to just check it out.
But we're also saying in general that, and we both agree, that the cars today coming off the assembly lines are better than they've ever been. They're all good. They are, it's whether or not the consumer understands that and how you deal with it can be go a long way to amplifying that comment.
Cars are also a sum of parts, and who are the suppliers,
and they come together and at the assembly line and are all put in.
They roll on tires, and recently, for instance, I just purchased new tires for my Touareg. They're big tires, they're expensive tires. And if
they're
you
noisy.
Do research, again, the same way, and I know cars, I kind of know where to gravitate, and you do the research, and you end up saving a lot of money and purchasing tires that are adequate. And the tires I got are probably all around very good tires. They might not be the best, not the most quiet, not the quietest tires, or maybe not the best in snow, but overall, they're very, very good tires. And I paid substantially. I probably paid $500 less for the whole set than I would have if I had gone with one of the major brands.
And that's terrific. And having that knowledge is, I think, important and part of what we try to do here, no?
Well, tires are another topic of which we have really not covered in shows too comprehensively. And maybe it's worth some research. But tires come in many names, but there are only so many manufacturers out there. There are unbranded names on many tires that I've never seen at a retail tire outlet in my life that I can see on the tires that come off sometimes dealers who put replacement tires on vehicles that they sell. And they may well be made by a major brand, and they may well be similar to a major brand's named tire, but you don't know it, and often the price is somewhat less expensive too. And you never know quite what those
tires
are about.
But it's the same rubber, it's the same...
Well, rubber is a compound. It may be the same rubber, and it may not be. But
I'm just curious.
There may be seven major manufacturers of tires, and there may be 50 brands of tires out there to buy.
All right, if I were, like, super evolved car-wise, would
You're
I...
not.
Quite clear. If I were, what tire would I want?
Well, I think...
Just like that Range Rover.
I think you know, notably, you go to the major names when you first, because you know the name Firestone, you know the name Goodyear, you know the name Michelin, you know the name
Because
Goodrich.
They have spent a good deal of money trying to get you
to know
those names.
Advertising, and they're at the branded stores are all over cities. You go and you go to Tarrington, for example, and you'll see a Goodyear store, big Goodyear store. They sell lots of tires, and it's a fabulous place. There's a Firestone store. There's a Michelin store, and so on.
But it becomes very hard to test drive your tires before you put them on your car. So
some
now
you give you 30 days test, and you can test drive tires for 30 days, and if you don't like them, some stores or manufacturers will give you 30 days to test drive a tire.
And do they put them on?
They will, if you buy it there.
The reality is you're still going to do a lot of your research by reading, and I hate to say it, on the internet, and you're going to go
price it too.
Yeah. And please don't get this wrong. There's nothing wrong with the internet if you know what you're looking for. You know, if you're sort of following a guided line, it's just if you're sitting there and you decide to do a search of tire, then it's good luck.
Tires have a lot of complexity to complexity to them that are going to lead to your satisfaction or not, and a lot of it has to do with tread design, rubber compounds, and various other a few other things. But until you put them on and ride over our roads with them and feel whether the noise is coming through the windshield or coming through the seat of your pants or whatever, and is it tread noise or is it road noise or what? You don't really know what's going to happen before you actually put those tires on your car.
Which I totally learned from you because I was completely ignorant. It was hard enough to buy a car. And then it was tires, like, yawn.
And then there are people who don't care.
No, but it wasn't
new tires,
because
they put them on.
Had to put new tires on. And I believe you may recall this, though it was decades ago, called you up and I said, oh my God, the car is a completely different car with these tires.
Right.
I just can't believe
it. New tires are quite wonderful.
Tires and shocks.
Tires and shocks, exactly.
Made a world of difference.
But these are things you don't know until you're back to the fundamental point. Unless you know that, you don't know it. And unless you've got somebody to say, oh, by the way, then
Now people listening to this show will know it to the degree they've listened to what
we're
talking
about. So what about shocks?
Okay.
And we've got 2 minutes, and don't make it long.
Shocks are much better than they used to be. Jay, go ahead.
Also, but now 100,000 miles, you barely notice it. Right. The problem with shocks is you don't really notice it. It's like tires. You don't notice that they're
gone until they're gradually gone.
Obviously, and that's the way it should be. But at some point, you realize, okay, this is not working.
Driving on the grass.
The other thing is, until you put a new shock on, you don't know how bad the old ones have become. Because the only way you visibly know if a shock is really down to and should be replaced is if you're following a car along, it's on a bumpy road, and it bounces up and down like a pogo stick without any control factor. And you have to know what you're looking at in order to analyze it in that way.
Pogo stick is a good way of looking at it. Pogo stick is not good. If that car starts jumping around, it's time for new shocks.
Yeah. And I've seen some older cars. Most of them are older cars, but occasionally a shock will be defective. As Jay said earlier, a car is a bunch of many, many parts put in, and sometimes the parts come off the assembly line, their quality control line, and they may or may not be perfect. And if you get a bad one, you hope that's what the warranty period for your vehicle is all about, and that you are sensitive enough or lucky enough or smart enough to find it before the warranty runs out. And those warranties are generally 3 years and between 36,000 to 50,000 miles for a full car warranty, and some cars are better. Anything more, Jay?
What's the car of the week? What's your car? What wowed you this week, Robin?
I don't have a car that's wowed me the way the Range Rover wowed you last week.
I'm still on the Range Rover. Anyone who wants to give me one, please feel free.
Well, Jay drove the Range Rover, his love, again this week, and he glows every time he comes back and tells me that he got to drive this favorite car on another mission, which I think he did this since the last show.
Can I have it? He is Robin Leach. He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Keys.
Baby, you can drive my car. Yes, I'm gonna be